Ephesians chapter 4 in the Bible. I want to turn it over there with you. We're going to be dealing with a new subject. We've been dealing with soul winning, and we're going to be turning over to Ephesians chapter 4 for this morning. I notice, I don't know if this has been a new thing. I don't think that it is, but I noticed today in our day in which we're living, seems to be a breakdown many times in our communication. And it's a big deal. Sometimes we don't realize what it's a big deal until we were dealing with our kids and we thinking to ourselves, why is my teenager not listening to me? I'm not there yet, but I'm thinking about it already. I'm trying to prepare myself. Or sometimes you wives, and you're sitting there trying to talk to your husband, and he's watching a football game or something like this, and you're talking, are you listening to a word I'm saying? And doesn't really respond the way that you hope he is, but communication is a big issue, and so we need to deal with that this morning as we're dealing in the Word of God. You know, so Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. The book of Ephesians is a wonderful chapter. It's a book about the heavenlies, if you read H.A. Ironside. Ephesians 4, 23, the Bible says, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we're members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him that labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give him that needeth." Verse 29 is particularly important to us. It says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, have forgiven you." And with that, we'll end right there. But, you know, it moves into dealing with the home quite a bit. Sometimes we look at the passage of Scripture, Ephesians 5:18, is be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you realize that is dealing, not just with the Christian himself? I mean, we ought to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But that's the only way that we're going to be able to minister a lost and dying world. Jesus told this. He said, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one toward another." How are you going to love one another? Because sometimes people get on your nerves. You got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. To not have that short fuse, you got to have the fruit of the Holy Spirit to show love, joy, peace, meekness, temperance. But it goes into the home, because after Ephesians 5:18, it goes and it begins to talk about the husband and the wife, the relationship that we have one toward another, and dealing particularly with the home, submission, respect, and ultimately, if we're right with God, we'll be right with each other. We say that with the church all the time. You know, the only way that you and I will be in unity of the Holy Spirit is if I'm right with God as the pastor, and you are right with God as the congregation, and we're both trying to walk out the Word of God in our lives. And so we're going to look at communication. We're going to stop and pray for just a minute, and then we'll get into the lesson, okay? Heavenly Father, again, we come before you, and we ask for your help. Lord, we pray that you just really drive home the importance of communication. Lord, I believe many times, I can only speak for myself as men, Lord, we fail in this area. Lord, we need to do better. And I pray you would just strengthen our home, strengthen our marriage, strengthen our churches, and help us to be effective communicators of the gospel and of the Word of God. And Lord, that we might speak with grace always. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. A lady came to the preacher's office and she said, "I need a little bit of counseling. I'm thinking about a divorce." You know, a preacher, anytime he hears those words, he said, "Uh-oh," you know. So he asked the lady, he said, what's the grounds for the divorce? She says, "Oh, we have about an acre and a half of property. That's no problem at all." She said, no, I don't think you understand what I'm trying to say. She said, what's the problem? Is there a grudge? She said, no, there's no garage. I wish there was one, but there's no garage. He said, lady, you need to listen to what I'm saying. Does your husband beat you up? He said, no. I'm up before him every single morning. He's lazy and he's always in bed all the time. She said, I don't know. Just let me try one more time. He said this. He said, I don't understand why you want this divorce so bad. She says this. We just do not seem to be able to communicate. And that's the trouble in every home. It doesn't matter if you're saved or unsaved, that's the trouble in every home. I wish it wasn't so, but you know, one of the issues is the sin is in this world. The devil has a way of twisting conversations, it has a way of getting into the heart, it has a way of tearing each other apart. And the devil is very effective at what he does. You know, God is an effective communicator, but oftentimes we're not hearing the Word of God. Many times the biggest trouble that we face is a breakdown in communication. A married couple, they once had a quarrel, and they ended up giving each other the silent treatment, and this went on for a couple of weeks, and the husband, he had this appointment coming up, and he decided he had too much pride, and he didn't want to give in, okay? So he wrote a letter, and he put it on his wife's nightstand, and said, wake me up at 5:40, please. Wakes up, his wife's gone, it's 9 o'clock, looks over on his nightstand, and she sees this little note and says, wake up, it's time, sweetheart. It's a breakdown in communication. You know, and sometimes we try to do things in spite of each other when it ought to be because we love one another. And we have such a terrible time with that. Bernard Shaw, he once said this, the single biggest problem in communication is the illusion that it has taken place. You know, I've been there. I've done that. Got the T-shirt. I'm talking to people, and I think that I've communicated clearly. I think that I've laid out all the expectations. I've told exactly what I thought that I've said, and you know. But they ask the question, and this is what we need to do. We need to ask the question, what did I say? Because oftentimes, if we ask the other person what I said, they have a completely different idea of what I said than what I truly intended to communicate. And there is this breakdown of communication we have. We have the trouble since the Garden of Eden. God spoke, and somewhere along the line, the devil came along and began to say, yea, as God said. And it's like the woman begins to communicate exactly what she thought God said, but it's completely the opposite of what God was saying. She thinks that she buys into the lie of the devil that God is trying to keep her from having these godlike qualities and have a better life. And she goes and she falls for it. And the husband, shame on him, he doesn't communicate because he knows better. He knows what God has said. And can I tell you this? We as men, we fail when we do not communicate the Word of God. There's this great big breakdown that we see taking place in the very beginning in the Garden of Eden. A depressed wife, think about this, a depressed wife pours out her feelings to her husband and only for him to tell her, I don't have time for you right now. That's a shame, but that happens in some homes. A frustrated mother is trying to reason with a rebellious teenage son, and she says this, you know, why can't I talk to him? Because he's in love with his friends and in love with sports. A son confides in a friend, says, can I please talk to you? My dad won't listen to me. He's too busy ministering in the church, and he's listening to everybody else but me. It's a breakdown in communication. God speaks to man about, and he goes on about his merry way. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 2, he says, I stretch forth my hands, this is God speaking, stretch forth my hands all the day long to a disobedient and gainsaying people, to them that walked in a way that was not good, but after their sins. And that's the way man is going, is a breakdown in communication. We have a communication trouble, and much of that is in the home. So we got to be intentional about communicating in a way that's proper and good. We might have good marriages and good relationships with our children, and that we might be able to be effective communicators of the gospel. Because guess what? This world needs the gospel. These kind of relationships, if there's a breakdown in our communication in the home, it's going to be far-reaching in its effects. It's going to, you know, if there's a breakdown in the marriage, it's going to come down into your children. It's going to come down into your work. It's going to come down into everything else within your circle of influence. What will it cost us if we don't know how to communicate? That's a good question, isn't it? Thought about this. We look out and we get these statistics all the time about many, many people. Our prisons and our jails are overflowing. Did you know that? It's like they're letting people go that should be locked up because they don't have any room. And so they're just like, well, we can't keep them and we can't house them, so we got to let them go. Our jailhouses, our prisons are overflowing, but there's hardly anybody in the church house to hear the Word of God. And we say, well, there's something wrong when we have so many criminals on the street and they don't have the Word of God to help them to see that God can transform your life. There is a breakdown in communication there. We have acres of fine houses everywhere. I mean, you go out and you're like me and we're looking at the job markets, or not the job market, but the housing market, and you see all these fine houses, thousands of dollars, but yet they're miserable. And these guys, you think that they have everything. Oh, they have money. They have a nice house. That doesn't mean anything. Children have more money and opportunity than we had in our day growing up, but they have less judgment. People who have fancy clothes but filthy minds. We have people who worry more about the economy of our nation than the morality of our people. We have a society that's more concerned with material blessings than our spiritual poverty. Think about the church in Revelation chapter 3. The church of Laodicea says, oh, we're rich, we're increased with goods. I mean, we don't have need of anything. Look at how good we're doing. Jesus looks at that church and he says, you don't realize you're naked, you're poor, you're destitute. I counsel you to buy of me rich as gold. That's the way the world we're living in. People were more concerned with the high prices of the barrels of oil and gasoline than the high cost of sin. And it's because we refuse to listen to God. The world is on its way to hell. And though they hear about it in church, who's going to tell them? Home was created by God, and it's to be the greatest spiritual institution in the world. Think about the home and how God set it up, and he gave instructions in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and probably one of the Jewish people quote this all the time, and us as Christians, we quote it all the time, but we fail to hear it sometimes. God says this, he says, I want you to love me with all of your heart and all of your mind and all of your soul. When you start out with the love of God, then comes the next thing. I want you to teach your children diligently. When they rise up and when they lay down, when you're walking in the street, in every area of your life. But you got to love God. I want you to put the Word of God on your walls. I don't want it to be just some sort of decoration. I want it to be hidden in your heart. What are you communicating, if anything at all? What are we communicating? The best way to see what we're communicating is to look at our children. And we see, I mean, many of you, I understand this. You're like, Pastor, I brought them up in church. I taught them right. I did everything that I knew how to do, and I did my best, and God knows. God knows. But sometimes we look at our children and we say, well, did I teach them wisdom? Where did they go wrong? You see, they got a choice too. See, communication is more than just speaking. It's also listening and hearing. We've got to be careful with that. But here's the problem. Again, it's called sin. In Adam and Eve's sin, God had to basically pry a confession out of Adam's mouth. And often in the home, there's a breakdown in communication. It's because of the source of sin is a source of tension and discord. As Ephesians 4:31 points out, there's bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking. And it could be abuse or embarrassment or threats. All of it according to Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. The Bible has a word for this. He says it's the works of the flesh. It's carnality. It's what's wrong here. We've allowed the world to influence the church. We've allowed the world into our home. We've allowed the world into our way of thinking. We've given place to the devil in the Bible. We just read it here in Ephesians chapter 4. Don't give place to the devil. And the works of the flesh is coming in instead of the fruit of the Spirit. So we don't talk, we don't tell the truth, we become verbally abusive when we allow the devil to come in and when we allow the world to come in and worldliness to cloud our thinking, to fog our minds, to influence our children for good. We can't seem to do that. if we allow that carnal thinking, that carnal attitude, that carnal heart. That's why the Bible tells us to put off the old man and put on the new man, which is created in righteousness after the Lord Christ Jesus. My wife, I mean, she has a way of words. I mean, I wish I knew the things that she knows. She has a way of communicating. I mean, she tells our children this: yelling solves nothing. It doesn't fix anything. And she tells them, like, settle down. I'm not going to yell at you. You're not going to yell at me, and we're going to talk this out. We got to be careful. Breakdown in communication is not just a sin problem, but it's a heart problem. Ephesians 4:29, again, it says this: let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister, here it is, grace unto the hearers. You know, it says over in the book of Colossians chapter 4, I forget which verse it is, he says, let your words be always seasoned with salt. Some people like to get salty, but that's not the word that we're to be thinking of. Salty is a different definition than what the Bible is. When the Bible uses the word salty, he's talking about a sacrifice. It's talking about a sacrifice that's been seasoned with salt, offered to the Lord, well-pleasing in the sight. That's the way our words are to be. They're to have grace. When you talk to other people, they need to see that you love them. That's why you're communicating to them. It's because you want to see them to do good. You're trying to instruct them. You're trying to build them up. You're trying to edify them. Even when there's tensions and the communication is not exactly the way you want it to be or desire it to be, you always got to approach the situation with grace in your heart. The statistics from marriage counselors will tell you this. They said, well, the number one problem with marriage is number one, sexual issues. Number two, there are financial issues. But can I say this? The problem is that the expectations, sometimes we have expectations and we're trying to put expectations on everybody else when those expectations have never been communicated. That's the blessing about premarital counseling. Sometimes people come into marriages and they have no idea what they're getting into. I mean, sometimes people talk about finances. You know, somebody will come home and they say, well, they knew that they spent $100 on something that their wife is not going to like. They choose not to tell the wife. The wife finds out about it because she's looking on the bank account. She says, honey, we lost $100 somewhere along the line. You know, I think we've been robbed. We've been scammed. No, I hate to tell you that. I bought something. What did you buy? You know we don't have money for the breakdown in communication. And we need to be able to talk about finances in the home. Listen, you're a team. You need to be able to talk about parenting. You're a team. You know, we tell our children all the time, you're not going to go to mommy and ask her, and when you don't get the answer you like, come and ask daddy, thinking you want to get a different response. We're on the same team. But it's got to be communicated. Christian home cannot be gained without communication. Amos 3:3, how could two walk together except for they be agreed? And we got to agree in our communication in the home. Communication brings knowledge into a relationship. And the more and the better that each one is known, the stronger our love will be for each other. And the special oneness that God desires for every marriage can only be achieved with good communication. Good communication. One of my college professors, Brother Frank Camp, he said this: if love is the heartbeat of the marriage, then communication's the lifeblood. A marriage would be made or destroyed to the degree that the couple learns and practices biblical communication. You want to help your home? Learn how to communicate. You cannot be upset if you have expectations that have never been communicated. You say, my wife, my husband, my kids, they should have known better. I've learned this a long time ago. I can't read your mind as a pastor. But if I'm trying to have that same approach as I go into my own home and I have my own expectations, but I haven't voiced it to my children and I haven't voiced it to my wife, how am I going to expect them to know what I want? They can't read my mind. You say, well, they should have known, but why should they? Did you tell them 10 years ago and you expect them to still know it? I've learned this about communication. You got to repeat it over and over and over again. You get to establish it. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we were to serve the Lord. Why? Because he communicated that and he established that in his home. I like what it says about Abraham. I've blown my notes all out of proportion, but it doesn't matter. Genesis chapter 18, verse 19, where the Lord comes to Abraham and he tells him this. He says, he's debating on whether to tell him what he's going to do about Sodom and Gomorrah. But he says this about Abraham. He says, I know him. I know him. I know how he's going to lead the people in his house. I know that he's going to command his children in the ways of the Lord to do justice and to do that which is right. I know him. What does God know about us this morning? And then all of a sudden after that, you know, because Abraham and his family, you know what Abraham's family is supposed to be? A communication of what God is like. One of the most practical things that he could do, he knows is, his nephew Lot is in Sodom. And God's going to go down there and destroy Sodom to show him exactly what God does not like. He doesn't need this nonsense going on in the home. In fact, we look at Lot's home and it is very broken. When Lot goes and he tells his daughters and his sons-in-laws that God's going to judge the city, they laugh at him in the face. It tells me something about the communication. He says that he's a Christian, but he doesn't live it and they don't believe it. It hasn't been communicated. And when God destroys Sodom and Gomorrah, it shows God's holiness, that he's not going to put up with the filth going on in the home and in the world. He will judge sin. Communication comes from a Latin word, communis. It means communion in the very basic sense of the word. Communion is to have fellowship with one another. The Greek word is koinonia, to have fellowship. Sometimes koinonia is used in a business sense, in a family sense, and it's to have a relationship with one another, to be on mutual terms, to communicate one thing back and forth, and to be on the same page as a team. Just because you talk doesn't mean you've communicated. There are some people that talk just to talk. And nothing is communicated. That bothers me. But I think, you know, I'm not much of a talker, Linda. I really not. I'd rather listen than to talk any day. But I've met some people, they could talk for 2 hours, and until you tell them, I got something to do, they're going to keep. And even after you tell them, I got something to do, they're still going to talk a half hour after that. And when you come away from that conversation, you're like, I just wasted 2 hours of my life. I could have spent that time at home. I could have spent that time at work. I could have spent that time giving the gospel. I could have spent that time doing something else. Communication is something where both people come together and they are edified and they're drawn closer to God and they are helped. Associated with the Greek word koinonia, it talks about communication, partaking, distributing, fellowshipping, communion. The partners, every time we take the Lord's Supper, it communicates something. He says, do this, so much more. You know, he says, do this in remembrance of me until I come again. So it's both spoken and unspoken. When we give a gift on Mother's Day, it communicates something. It communicates that I appreciate you. I love you. I value the time and energy you've put in my life, the money you've spent on me. When we give a gift, when we take our mothers out to eat, when we do something for our mothers, it communicates something. When we hold our children in our arms after they've been hurt, it communicates something. We care about them. There are some people that can come into church and, you know, unfortunately a pastor can be preaching and sometimes he'll be pouring, he's preaching passionately and somebody in the pew, all they're getting out of this is, he hates me, he's yelling at me. He doesn't love me. He doesn't talk to me. He's not concerned about me. And they're saying what they're receiving, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to show them I love you and I'm trying to help you and I'm trying to point you to Christ, but they could get something else out of it and they say, well, I don't need to be here. I hope that's not the case in any church, but I know that it does happen. And that's why I tell people all the time, us, me, and my family, we care about you. We want to meet you. We want to talk with you. We want to be in your homes. We want to show you that we care by spending our time. You can call us at any hour of the night. Well, please don't call after 10 o'clock. But, I mean, if it's an emergency, you can call. Because we're here for you. As pastor, I want you to know I love you. But it's got to be communicated. You know, sometimes we hear these jokes, and I don't find it a joke. But you hear the joke about the man who got married and says, oh, I do, and I love you, sweetheart, on the day of his wedding. And then 3 years later, she says, honey, you haven't said I love you in a long time. He says, well, you know I love you. I told you once. No, you got to tell them all the time. I tell my wife every single day I love her. If I go throughout, if it's noon and I haven't given my wife a kiss, something's wrong. I need the loving just as much as she needs it. It's communicated, spoken and unspoken. There's a purpose in communication. Genesis 2:18, and the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone, and I'll make him a helpmeet for him. I've learned this, you know, some people are not help. You try to do something, and they're not talking. You can't do a job together. You try to build a shed, and somebody's not talking to you, you're not going to get a lot accomplished. It's like trying to bake, you know, and sometimes I watch Food Network, and they'll get into these competitions, and one person will bake, and then they're not communicating, and some of the other person will come and take over. They have no idea where they are. And that meal is going to be a disaster. You know, you got to be able to communicate. Help meet means you're communicating, you're working together, you're serving as a team, you're voicing what is going on, your feelings, your concerns. Women, basically, they communicate their feelings. Oftentimes, guys, they communicate facts. And sometimes the two do not come together because the man is looking at it and say, well, you know, your feelings doesn't line up with the facts. And that's off-putting. That's not communicating effectively. We got to take in communications of feelings of our wives. She's got to take into the consideration the facts of the matter. And both of you coming together, harmonizing, working together in this communion, this to work out the Word of God and the will of God in our lives. The purpose in communication in the home, husband and wife, children and parents, is to work together, strive for the same goals, living by the same standards, comforting each other, sharing and fellowship. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Verses 1 through 4. Let me read this for you really quick. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, of any comfort of love, of any fellowship of the Spirit, of any bowels and of mercies, fulfill ye my joy that you be, here it is, like-minded. You should underline that in your Bible. Like-minded, having the same love as the same love in your home. Being of one accord, are you going in the same direction? Says of the church all through the book of Acts, they were of one accord in prayer and mission. They're of one mind. Verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem each other better than themselves. You know, as husbands, what we do is we try to serve our wives. Our wives are constantly trying to serve their husbands. As parents, we're trying to serve our children and to be others-minded, to esteem each other better than ourselves, to look on the needs of others. That's what we are to do as husbands and wives and as parents. That's the mission in the world. Otherwise, it will become selfish, and it's all about me, me, me. I want to watch this show, and I want to spend my time in television instead of going to church. I want to do this instead of helping the widows in the church. I want to do this instead of what I ought to be doing. And it's all about them and what they want and what they desire. But to be a Christian is to be others-minded, is to think on the needs of others and esteem each other better than themselves. We've got Brother Tim Pledger here. We're to be encouraging him and help serving him as he's here trying to help serve us, to serve the needs of the gospel message, the Great Commission. We got to stop this mindset of being selfish. It's all about what I want. Philippians 2:2 says we need to be of one accord. You know, if you have a football team, I used to watch football. way back in the day when Pittsburgh Steelers were good, but that's another story. When Jerome Bettis played football, that was a long time ago. You have a football team and they're not communicating to each other. You think they want to win a game? Quarterback drops back and he's got the football in his hand and he's getting ready to throw, but the guy, the wide receiver, is out there and he's not where he ought to be, and he's thinking to himself, what happened? He didn't communicate. And they lose the game. We must be of the same mind and of one accord. Every time that something is communicated, there are several things that's going on that we're trying to process. Who is communicating? We're thinking about, do I trust this guy who's talking to me? You know, there are people that call me on the phone all the time, and automatically I'm thinking, I do not trust this guy. I don't trust this lady. They're trying to sell me something. They're trying to scam me out of something. But when we're communicating, we're thinking about trust. We're thinking about wisdom. Does this guy know what he's talking about? Does this lady know what he, does this mother know what she's talking about? Does this father know what he's talking about? Trust, wisdom, authority. It's one thing if mom tells me to do something. It's another thing if brother or sister tells me, I want you to do this. It's not the same authority. Why we communicate? Are you communicating out of love because I love you, or are you communicating hate? We hear this term all the time, hate speech, which is really not hate speech. It's just they don't like the Word of God and they don't like God in their lives. But there are some times where people cross that line into hate. And there's a fine line between love and hate. You find people that were once married and they were in love with each other, and all of a sudden there was a breakdown in communication. They get a divorce, and then that hate is so strong that they can't seem to live in the same country or same community. Love and hate. Are we communicating to inform or to warn? What's the motivation? How do we communicate? Are we communicating clearly, persuasively, honestly? Are we communicating in a way that's spiritually instead of carnally? What are you communicating? When do you communicate? I always hate when somebody tries to talk over top of me. And you're talking and you get cut off in the conversation. It's like somebody cutting you off at a car and you just feel like just laying in on the horn. It just drives me up the wall. When to communicate. We try to teach our kids, you know, you wait till mom and dad are done talking. There is a time when we talk. There's a time to communicate. The intent is for you to listen and to receive what the other person is saying. This means we must listen. The book of James says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Notice he doesn't say be swift to speak. Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. We must hear before we're able to speak. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 13 says, he that answered a matter before he hears it, it's folly and shame unto him. I know some people that think they have all the answers before they even hear the question. And then you got to process what to say so you get your meaning across effectively. Our Lord said this many times as he's preaching and he's talking to the disciples, or he's out in the community, he's dealing with the Pharisees and Sadducees and all this. And when he's talking to the great crowds, he says this, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Here's the interesting part. When he's talking to the church, the seven churches in the book of Revelation, he tells them the same thing. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Jesus spoke these words to the loveless church at Ephesus in Revelation 2:7, to the persecuted church at Smyrna, to the compromising church at Pergamos, to the corrupt church at Thyatira, to the dead church at Sardis. You know, I always liked that church. Thought that they were alive but are dead. The faithful church at Philadelphia. And the lukewarm church at Laodicea. The last thing that you want to hear from somebody at some point in the conversation is, are you listening to me? That's what Jesus is saying. Are you listening? I see your works. I see your labor of love. I see there are some good things about you. You hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans. You're standing for the truth. You're standing for what's right. But do you hear what I'm saying? There are some things you need to repent of. You need to go back to your first love. You need to buy of me the counsel, the wisdom that is of gold. You need to hear what I'm saying that you might receive it. Turn and repent. That you might stand before God blameless. That's what he wants for us. God loves us. That's why he's constantly sending people out to talk to us, to minister, to reach us. I only got halfway through my Sunday school. This is crazy. Potential of communication. We'll have to pick up on this next week, but think about this. What are you communicating? Are you trying to develop somebody? Are you trying to destroy somebody? Because communication can do that. Are you trying to deliver somebody? Gospel. Are you trying to deceive somebody? That's a hypocrite. There are all these things that we are communicating. What are you communicating? And the Bible tells us in James chapter 3, we'll pick up on this next week, that your tongue is an unruly fire. You think about that. Fires spread very quickly. You live out in California, you know what that's like. Fires destroy everything. And that's what he said. Out of your mouth comes blessing and cursing. These things ought not to be. What are you communicating? Communication is important in your home. Again, men, if you're not communicating, Adam did not communicate what he should have. Abraham, instead of telling his wife, Sarah, who says, take Hagar to be, and have this child. God said, we're going to have a child. Abraham should have stood up and said, no, God promised, and we're going to do it God's way. Think about Jacob when Dinah was raped. Did not say anything, and his sons took the power in their own hands. Did not say anything. Think about David when Tamar was raped. Did not say anything. The devil got control of the home. Guys, we need to be speaking. It's vitally important, all right? With this, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for your word. I pray that we'll speak truth and love. I pray that we'll communicate kindness and grace. Lord, help us to be gospel witnesses and show it out of our hearts. Lord, the world needs to see what God is like and how they're going to see it if it's not in our home. Lord, our hearts are desperately wicked, and it shows, and sometimes in our way we speak. You said in your word that out of our mouths come adulteries, fornications, and all those evil things. Lord, help our mouths to communicate which is good out of the good treasures of our hearts. Lord, we need you. We need to be spirit-filled. We need your word. And speak to us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Spend time with brother.